From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
I went to visit the memorial down in Washington, the World War II memorial, and there wasn't a thing in there about Rosie Ribder.
Mae Cryer is one of millions of women who worked in factories during the war.
Yes, I built B-17s and B-29s during World War II.
She was a real-life Rosie the Riveter. And at the war memorial in Washington, D.C., all she saw recognizing her time in the factory was a plaque off to the side.
And when I went there, that really made me angry. Now, I think if I live long enough, I'm going to fight for that.
Now, Mae is 93 years old and lives in Levittown, Pennsylvania. This week, she's traveling to Normandy, France, to celebrate the 75th anniversary of D-Day and to help get Rosies the credit she says they deserve. Today on The Why, recognizing Rosie. I talked to Mae Cryer about why she and other Rosies are fighting to be remembered so many years after the war.
People ask me, do I remember the day Pearl Harbor was attacked? My sister and I had been to a matinee. It was a Sunday. And we came home. Our folks were sitting by the radio, very upset.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air. President Roosevelt has just announced.
And you know, I stood there. I'm a teenager. And I stood there and I said, you know, I don't think I even know where Pearl Harbor is.
The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu.
Wasn't long at all before we all knew where Pearl Harbor was. And, of course, that was the beginning of all of our young men going away. These towns, all the young men would just enlisted right away and just took the heart out of our small towns. I remember the day when we put my brother on the train to go to war. My father was such a happy storytelling man. And I walked into a room, here sat my father crying, and I never forgot that because I'd never seen him upset before, but all across America, parents, families were crying, putting their sons on the train, never knowing whether they're going to come back or not, and many of them didn't.
With every man utilized, we are still short millions of hands. We must call upon women to leave their homes and take jobs. Among our young unmarried women and among older women whose children are grown, we have a large reserve. They discover that factory work is usually no more difficult than housework. Employers find that women can do many jobs as well as men, some jobs better.
You were a young woman and you decided to move away for the war effort. What made you decide to go to Seattle?
What happened is school was out and my girlfriend's father had moved out there. He had an apartment and we all moved in there for the summer. First of all, we thought it was a lark and of course we liked making money. We'd never made a lot of money before, in fact, hardly any. We didn't plan on staying beyond the summer, but we just loved it. It just built on you. It just built. You realize the more you hear, the more you see, the more you want to save our country, save our men. It was simple as that.
The Riveter, Rosie's got a boyfriend, Charlie. Charlie, he's a Marine. Rosie is protecting Charlie, working overtime on the riveting machine.
Now, what exactly did you do when you worked on the airplanes? What was your job?
First of all, you had to be a bucker, and then you became a riveter. What they would do is the riveter would take the rivet gun and rivets, and they'd put them in the little holes of this aluminum that was on the plane. And the buckers, we were on the other side, and we had bucking bars where when she shot that rivet in there, we had to buck it. In other words, we sealed it. That's what we did. And I worked on the engine and the wings.
So that was a lot of exercise for you to get around the wing and do all your riveting.
We had to move around the rib. That was when you snaked in and out of those wings. And as far as strength, I don't know that it really took strength. Well, I was a tomboy, so it was a lot easier for me than it was for my sister. She was more of a ladylike person, but she did really well once she got with it.
Did you guys look like the woman in the Rosie the Riveter poster?
You know, we didn't look like that. at all. We were in jumpsuits and maybe black bandanas or what have you. We had to wear bandanas because if a drill got caught in our hair, it would just pull a clump of hair right out. But I don't think there was ever any red polka dot ones at that time.
What was the atmosphere like working with all those other women in the factory in Seattle?
Well, you know, it was an exciting time because we were young. We used to work all day and dance half the night. But we worked, if they needed us to work overtime, we worked overtime. They asked us to work Thanksgiving Day, which is unheard of at that time. And these are the things we did. You know, we honored our country. We honored our flag. We honored our parents. We wouldn't let them down. And it's like, I love to tell the story of a Gold Star mother that I worked with. She lost her son. And she said she wouldn't stop working because she said she lost her son. She didn't want another mother to lose a son because he didn't have the equipment he needed.
Hmm.
And I thought that was an outstanding woman. We worked with a lot of widows who'd lost their husbands. And that was sad because they hung right in there and did what our country needed to win the war. And very proud of those women. They were amazing women. And I'm proud to be part of them, too. Very proud.
Your husband was a soldier, too. Did you meet him during the war?
Yes, I met him in 1944. He was a terrific dancer. You know, we were jitterbugs at that time. And we just become good friends. And we got married, and we knew that, of course, afterwards he was born in Trenton, New Jersey, and he had a job at Westinghouse House. And it was just a women's way of life at that time to follow their men. And so we knew that it was going to be a permanent home for us.
May, do you remember when you found out the war was over? How did you find out, and what were you thinking?
Well, the story I love to tell was a cute one. After we were married, my husband got a 2 weeks leave, and we came back to the East Coast. I'd never been to the East Coast to meet his family. And on our way back across the country, we went halfway back when VE Day was declared. That's victory in Europe.
Historic pictures of the last days of the war in Europe show American and Russian troops as they joined at Torgau on the River Elbe, splitting German armies in two. United States General...
And the people would meet the train celebrating, really celebrating with everybody. And I don't know who brought in the liquor, but by the time we got back to the state of Washington, we had some sick pups on that train, I'll tell you. But everybody was so happy because now that we'd won the war in Europe, it's just a matter now of winding it down in Japan. So we knew the war was almost over, so we really celebrated.
So, May, what are you doing now to get Rosie the Riveters recognized? What have you done, and what are you trying to accomplish?
I started back in 1980 to try to get Rosie recognized because nobody paid any attention to what the women did. We just came home. I said the men came home to parades and flying flags, and Rosie came home with a pink slip. So many people just ignored us and just think, you know, didn't realize what we had done for our country. One of the things I remember so well is this lady from California, she works getting Rosie recognized the same as I do. And we were invited to Detroit to a big affair up there. And at the gala affair, they were taking pictures of all the military, the men in the back. And somebody come and got the two of us, she was a welder and I was a riveter, to be in the picture. And the man next to me said, "What are these women doing in here?" And I said, "Had it not been for us women, you might not even be here."
Mm.
And I think that's so true. I mean, they don't realize what we did, how many lives we helped save.
Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey has introduced a bill to award Rosie the Riveters the Congressional Gold Medal.
That's the highest civilian medal that Washington can award. And I think that's so nice. Last year, it was introduced last year, but it didn't pass. Now they've reintroduced it this year, so we just have to keep working at it.
May, how would you like history to remember Rosie the Riveters?
You know, up until 1941, it was a man's world. They didn't know how capable and amazing American women were. I think we really proved it. I said Hitler had said that he wouldn't have any trouble defeating America because American women couldn't produce. He said, "We were soft and spoiled." He said, "We spent too much money on our cosmetics and stockings, frivolous things." And I think we showed Hitler what American women were made of. Young girls in school, whenever I go to schools, I tell the girls, you think you can't do it. You think he's a man, he can do it better. That's not the case. If it's something you want to do or you dream about, go for it. I mean, it's not a man's world anymore.
Rosie, 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 the riveter
on the assembly line.
Thank you, May.
Thank you, Annette. I really appreciate this.
Thanks to the Philadelphia Inquirer for putting us in touch with May. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Ben-Yaakov and Alex Stern, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. Our intern is Xavier Lopez. Tweet me at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.